All that aside, Galatians chapter 5. You could guess the book, the chapter, and the verse. It's not really a guess. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Is he downstairs? Wow. Children's church tripled in size. Three kids down there. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Dear God, we ask that you'd help us this morning as we come to your word again. We try to learn these fruits of the Spirit and try to be who you want us to be. Help us just concentrate on you, put everything else out. And just draw closer to you and be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come this morning to this part of the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness. And it's one of those things that we might look at and say, well, that's an easy one to get a hold of, you know, gentleness. But I think that we'll find there's more to it than just what's on the surface whenever we begin to really dig into it here. But gentleness, what is it? Well, the definition of gentleness is this: genteel behavior, softness of manners, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, meekness. And then I noticed in the dictionary it said, see Pastor Utley for example. Oh, it was an anti-example. I'm sorry. No, think about that. Genteel behavior, softness of manners, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, meekness. I read that and maybe you automatically think of somebody. Somebody comes to your mind. You think, oh, I know the picture of gentleness. And maybe somebody comes to your mind that is, you think, is the exact opposite of gentleness. But that doesn't matter this morning. What matters is, as we look in the mirror, am I the picture of gentleness? The guy that I shave, is he the picture of gentleness? That's what matters. Not is the person next to me in the pew, are they a perfect example or not, or are they lacking? You can't do anything about that person next to you in the pew except pray for them and encourage them. You can only make your decisions. And so how are we in this area of gentleness? You ever noticed how gentle we are with little kids? How gentle we are with little babies? And I told you last week that we saw the Combs family out and they had their little baby boy and Ashton really wanted to hold him. And so she got to hold him for a little bit. And you know, if you've ever had kids or you have been around little kids, you know that little babies, we're real gentle with them, aren't we? We hold them just right, and you know, we don't just pack them under our arm. We hold them just right. When we pass them off to somebody, it's like it's, you know, what is it? It's a precious possession. Be very careful with this. Why? Because that's true. They are. We hand them off real careful. We're real gentle. We're real careful with them. Even as they start to grow a little bit, we have to be gentle with them. I think about my kids. And the boys and I, the boys are going to have the toughest back of the head of anybody that ever lived. Because they'll be sitting there doing their homework or something, and that's like my favorite thing to do is walk by and give them a smack in the back of the head, you know, or smack them on the back or something, or, you know, punch them in the arm. We trade punches and everything, you know. That's what dads and their teenage boys do, you know. You're rough. You play, you wrestle, you knock each other around, and, you know, the harder you hit them, the quicker they'll toughen up, right? Or the longer it just takes to heal. But anyhow, I'll tell you what, though. He doesn't look like much because he's not as bony as Colin is. I would much rather trade punches with Alex, not because of strength, but because Alex actually has a little bit of padding on his fingers. Colin is pure bone. And so, I mean, they probably hit about, Alex might even hit harder, I don't know, but Colin is pure bone. And so, ladies, you don't know anything about this unless your husband and sons did this, but guys, we love to play this game. It's called six-inch punches. And we played it in school, and you'd take your hand like this and put it on. I'm going to hit you, Kiana. You put your finger right here and your hand right there, and then you'd 6 inches, and you get to punch from that distance. But now, if you know what you're doing, the way that you cheat is, right, you get ready to punch, you throw your elbow in, and you catch him with your elbow. But boys on the playground just stand around and play six-inch punches. You know, you say, oh, that's dumb. No, that's part of being a guy. You just like to hit each other. And you don't need a reason to give a knuckle noogie, do you? Just grab somebody and noogie his head, and we're rough, okay? These boys, I'm rough with them. And sometimes they fight back, and then I get hurt, and I have to go sit in my chair. But, you know, you rough each other up and everything. And when they were little, okay, when they were little, we would play and everything. And then they got a little bit bigger, you could play a little bit rougher. Now, I don't trade punches with Clayson. He's 3. I don't trade punches with him. He gets softer noogies. He doesn't get hit in the back of the head, you know. Why? I have to be more gentle with him. And as they grow, and as my boys here grew, they got a little bit bigger, and you didn't have to be as gentle. And then you didn't have to be as gentle. And then you got to where you don't really have to be gentle at all. And then it switches, and they have to start being gentle with dad. You know, it's going that downward slope. You know what I mean? The younger they are, the smaller they are, the more gentle we have to be. And as they grow, then you're able to, they're able to take a little bit more. Okay? They're able to take a little bit more, and you can rough them up a little bit more. And you can put that into play in any, you can use any illustration you want. You know? Our resistance to pain sometimes. Some people have to take treatments for different ailments and things, and sometimes that treatment is uncomfortable, but then over time they get used to it. My grandmother, you know how much I dislike needles. My grandmother was diabetic and had to have an insulin shot every day. And so, you know, she couldn't really see to do it, so my uncle had to do it for her. But, you know, people have to give themselves a shot or prick their finger and take their, you know, Lord, please let me ever be a diabetic. Take your blood every day. I don't know how they do it. Well, they get to where they don't even feel it, do they? Don't they? They have to be gentle at first, but then after a while you get used to it. Okay, so you grow. But when little kids, when they're little, we have to be gentle with them. Why? Well, there are a few reasons, and I think those reasons have to do, they are kind of a picture of how we ought to be gentle with people. And why? Well, here's why. We have to be gentle with little ones because, for one, they're precious and they have value. Not that once they little kids get to be teenagers, they don't have value. You know, they're still precious, they still have value. But you know, we're thinking about little babies and how precious they are and the value that they have and everything. Why else do we have to be gentle with them? Well, they're fragile and they hurt easily, don't they? Little ones just, they hurt easier. That's why I said I don't play 6-inch punches with Clayson. What do I play with him? He gets tickled. The boys get slapped, he gets tickled. The boys are like, can we get tickled? Stop getting slapped. No, they don't like getting tickled any more than I do, and I can't stand it. He gets tickled. He stands on the bed and we throw fake punches and hit each other with pillows, and he falls over and likes for me to fall over. You got to be gentle. Why? They hurt easy. They're fragile and they hurt easily. How about this? Why do we have to be so gentle with little ones? How about this? Because they don't know anything about gentleness and need to learn. They need to be taught gentleness. If you've ever been around a 2 or 3 year old and a cat, then you know they need to be taught gentleness. You know, you sit them down, you say, okay, now you put the cat in their lap, and you say, now real easy, see, he likes it when you pet him here, he likes it. Okay, 2 or 3 days later, little Johnny walks in the room and he's got the cat by the tail, doesn't he? You've seen it. You know, they try to pick them up. They don't know, do they? They reach down, and have you ever seen them? They did this when they were little. They reach down and try to pick a cat right up by the throat, because that's an easy place to get a hold of. You just go, you know, and cats clawing them up and everything, and they don't get it. or try to drag it around by the leg or something. Why? They don't know anything about gentleness yet, do they? They don't know anything about being gentle. They haven't learned. So we are gentle with little ones because they are precious. They have value. They are fragile. They can hurt and break easily. And because they need to learn gentleness from us. They need to learn from us what gentleness is and how to be gentle. Well, what about whenever we deal with other people? What about whenever we deal with the lost? What about when we deal with other Christians? What about when we deal with new Christians? Those that have just put their faith in Christ, that are just learning and just starting out on that journey, and we have to be gentle. Not that we don't have to be gentle with the ones that have been saved 30 and 40, 50 years, but isn't it true that a new Christian, a new convert, sometimes needs a little more gentleness? Or what about the lost that don't know anything yet and we're trying to win them to Christ? We have to be gentle with them. Well, why should we have this trait of gentleness? Where does it help? And I want to make sure that we understand this, that gentleness doesn't mean that we compromise on firmness. Okay? You can be gentle, but still stand firm. Still be firm on something. The desire of the flesh is oftentimes not to be gentle and to lash out and to be rough with people. Because we want, you've made me mad and I want my way. And so we kind of lash out and we forget about gentleness. And there is a place for firmness. There are principles and fundamentals that we have to stand on and be firm and say, look, we're not going to move. But you can be firm and gentle at the same time. You can be very firm. When you discipline your child, okay, you take a 2 or 3 year old, he does something, you've told him not to do, you're working with him, he needs a spanking. You can be firm in your discipline, but still be gentle and not go overboard and not hurt the child, right? Firm and gentle at the same time. So while there's nothing wrong with being firm, you know what there is a problem with? Brutishness. You can be firm and you should be firm and be gentle, but never a brute. You know what a brute does? A brute just lashes out and does what, just loses his temper and doesn't know how to restrain himself. And a brute really is a ridiculous sight, isn't he? Because he doesn't know how to hold his temper. He doesn't know how to. And maybe we have all been brutish at times. What about a pastor who is firm and gentle? You can have that. But have you ever seen a brutish pastor? Have you ever seen a pastor that was just a brute? That just verbally abused and beat up on people and was just mean and nasty? And I'm sure that you have. So there's a difference between being firm and just being a brute. You know, I think about, I still really like, remember Popeye? Remember the old Popeye cartoons? Well, I like Popeye. Really like Popeye. But I can't think about that word brute or brutish without thinking of Bluto. I mean, he was big, he was loud, he was mean, he was ornery, and he just did whatever he wanted and beat up on everybody. Popeye was firm, yet gentle. Not exactly. But I always think of Bluto, and I think how big he was and how boisterous and loud. That's brutish, to be a brute. You can't control yourself, and you just lash out, and you go with the flesh, and you don't know how to control your anger or your temper or anything. You can be firm without being a brute, and you can be gentle at the same time that you're being firm. But we ought to be gentle with people. Christ is our example of gentleness. If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll probably go to 1st and then go to 2nd. I was saying in Sunday school, I do that all the time. I tell everybody go to 1 Corinthians and then I go to 2nd. And then look at the verse and realize, what in the world is that? That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching because I'm in the wrong book. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of who? Christ. Who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. So he says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Christ is our example of gentleness. And you know what Christ was also? He was also firm. Christ was firm, but he knew how to be firm and gentle at the same time. This idea that Christ never raised his voice and never got upset about anything is not a scriptural truth. Because let me tell you, he was angry when he went into that temple and cleansed that temple. And so that's why you have to be careful with these modern versions of the Bible, because the Bible tells us that if we are angry without cause, it's a sin. But Jesus had a cause. He did not sin because he had a right to be angry. They were desecrating the temple that was supposed to be built for God, for him. So he was justified in that anger. These modern versions change. They leave the account of Jesus getting angry. They leave that in there, but then they change the verse to make it say, he who is angry sins. And so they've made Jesus into a sinner. That's why you have to be careful. They don't all say the same thing. Okay? So, but what was he? He was firm. And the Bible tells us at the same time, he was gentle. He was gentle among us. And if you look at Matthew chapter 10, go back to Matthew chapter 10. And find verse 16. He's our example, and here's what he told us to do. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, yet be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So Christ admonishes us, okay? Be wise as serpents, be alert, know what's going on, but be harmless as doves. We're to be gentle. We're to be gentle to people. We're to be gentle to one another, to other Christians. We're to be gentle to new converts. We're to be gentle to the lost. Why? Well, we're gentle with little people. Why? With young ones, why? Because they're precious. They have value. So why be gentle to the lost when we're trying to lead them to Christ? It doesn't mean we don't preach on sin. It doesn't mean we don't tell it like it is. It doesn't mean we don't stand firm. But we're not brutes about it. Okay? And if something needs to be preached, we're going to preach it unapologetically if that's what the Bible says. But as far as beating somebody up, the Holy Spirit knows how to do that. And He's the one that has to do that. He's the one that has to work them over, doesn't He? Okay? But why are we to be gentle? Let's just look at the lost. Why? Well, are they not precious? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I'd say God sees His creation as precious to give His own Son for us, for the lost. We're gentle to lost people because they have value. They mean something to God. They mean so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for their sin. Okay, they have value. So we ought be gentle among them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Beloved of the Lord. Okay, so lost people are of value to God because He wants to save them. And saved people are of value because now we belong to Him. We are gentle to young people. I just want to use this gentleness. We all know about being gentle to little babies and little kids. So I want to use that this morning, something we can all relate to. We're gentle because they're precious. Well, the lost are precious to God. He sent His Son to die for them. And the saved are precious to God because they're now His children. And so we ought to be gentle to one another and to the lost. We ought to be gentle. Christ was our example. How about this? They're fragile and they hurt easily. They can be offended easily. You know, we won't turn there, but Romans 14, weeks prior, we have looked at this about the weaker brother and how the Christian can do certain things and not sin, but it's not a good idea because the new convert might be having a problem with that in his conscience, and he might see that, and that might cause him to stumble. And so the stronger brother ought to say, you know what, I can do that, but I'm not going to because I don't want to hurt my brother. Okay? So new converts, they bruise easily. They can be hurt easily if we're not careful. We got to be gentle. We got to give them time. Got to bring them up. Got to teach them. Have to let them learn. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9:22, Paul is talking about this. He says, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So Paul's saying you have to deal with different people different way. And some people, they're new converts and they're just learning. And you have to be a little more gentle. And then others that have been in the faith for a while and they've been learning, they can handle a little bit more. The new convert is on what of the word? The milk of the word. And then as you grow and everything and you get a little bit bigger and you get a little bit older, you can handle some meatier food. And Paul said that he couldn't feed them with meat yet because they were, that he was talking to some Christians who were staying on the bottle too long. But the point is, when a person first gets saved, they're learning the basics and everything, and then it takes a little while. Last night when we sat down to eat, here we are. We had pork chops, and the rest of us, you know, the big kids and Amy and I, we just cut ours up. What do we have to do to Clayson's? Cut it into small pieces because he can't handle the big pieces like we can. And because if he ends up liking it, he's going to, you know how they do, like I'm never going to eat again. He treats pineapple like that. Any fruit, you put any fruit in front of him and he's like an aardvark, you know. Again, cartoons. I'm sure aardvarks don't really do that, but they do on Pink Panther. So anyhow, it gives you a lot of confidence. Most of your pastor's references are to cartoons, right? Yeah, but you all know you relate to them, so. But we have to cut it up smaller. Why? They can't handle the bigger pieces yet. You know, baby food. What is it? It's mushed up, isn't it? And then as they get a little bit older, then you start giving them hot dogs because they're kind of firm but soft. And you know, and then eventually they can eat a hamburger, and then eventually they can eat a steak. But it takes time. You got to be careful with them. Got to be gentle with them. You have to give them time. They're fragile. They hurt easily. New converts, people just get saved. We've got to be gentle. Got to give people time. Some people can handle things better because they've been in the faith a little bit longer. So we ought to have that gentleness towards lost people. We ought to have that gentleness towards saved people, new converts, and we ought to have it towards all saved people. We ought to have that gentleness towards people that have been in it 30, 40 years. Why? Precious to God. That's one of God's children. And Christ is our example. And then finally, we're gentle with these young ones because they need to learn how to be gentle. And they have other things that they have to learn from us. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Babies drink milk. Babies are on the bottle. That's what they have to have for a while. But what does it say? It says that ye may grow thereby. Clayson's 3 years old. If he was still on that bottle, Not only would he look silly, but he'd be undernourished, wouldn't he? Because his body's growing and needs more. You know, Moses, Cole, what if they were, they're 7 and 9 years old. Can you imagine them sitting back there sucking on a bottle? They wouldn't have grown to where they're at now at that age. They wouldn't have had what they needed. So you start out there, and then you grow. New Christians, they get saved, they got to grow. You got to start out on the simple stuff, and then you start building upon that. As the Bible tells us, line upon line, precept upon precept, you have to, it gets a little bit harder, gets a little bit harder. With ours, what we did was, one of the first things we did after, one of the first things we introduced to them was rice and cereal in their bottle. For one, it put them out at night like that. Well, it puts them to sleep. Except Clayson. Nothing put that kid. He's like 2 years old before he slept through the night, like on a routine basis. It's, whew, man. But most kids, you put a little rice in that bottle and they're gone. Okay? Well, that's not very solid, but it's more than milk, isn't it? And then you work up and you work up and you work up and you work up. Look, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So we don't stay there. We grow. We move on from those things, from those simple things. And we progress and we grow. So we're gentle with little kids because they need to learn gentleness. And they need to learn other things. And they need to be taught. And it's easier to teach them with a gentle tone. And sometimes you have to be firm and put your foot down, and they might need a little spanking or something like that. But we realize who we're dealing with, and so we try to be gentle with them. Well, it's the same way with God's people. Sometimes you're dealing with somebody who's got it, and they know, and they've had it for years, and okay, now it's time to move on. And then other times you're dealing with somebody who's just now learning. And so just like with the little ones, we want to be gentle. We want to be gentle. We want to work with them, and we want to give them time. We want to be easy. Firmness has its place. Brutishness never does. So this gentleness comes into play with people that aren't saved, okay, because God wants to save them. And it comes into play with people that are saved because we're all at different places. You say, oh, but boy, he's been saved for 50 years. That doesn't mean you'll have to be gentle with him anymore. He's still a precious possession of our Father. And so we ought to be gentle with them. So gentleness, where are you at? Are you firm and gentle, or are you brute? They say, well, I don't know. You know who could tell you? Just about anybody else that knows you. Just about anybody else that knows you could tell you if you're firm and gentle or if you're a brute, if you're a bully, if you're a punk. That was our word. They could tell you. How are you in this department of gentleness? You know, you get a lot further with people. Understanding goes a long way, doesn't it? But you know what I think the problem is, and I'll close with this. I think one of the problems is this. Sometimes pastors and congregations and everything, they kind of get this idea that gentleness equates weakness and gentleness equates compromise. That if we're too gentle, then we're going to look weak. If we're too gentle, then it's going to look like we're compromising, or we're going to start letting things slip and letting everything go. And we just looked at how Christ is our example, and that's not at all what Christ did. That's not at all what Christ did. Christ was firm. Christ was unmovable. And we should be the same way, firm and unmovable on God's word and on the fundamental principles of his word. But we can do so. We can do so with the gentleness that we've learned from Christ at the same time. The two can exist together. They did in Christ, and they ought to in us. Let's pray, and then we'll observe the Lord's table. Dear Heavenly Father,